Here's how the numbers settled up in Chicago on the last trades at 2 o'clock Central Time at the CME Group. July futures for the soft red winter wheat were up 10.5 cents at the end of the day, $6.60 the settlement price. September at $6.78.5, up 9.5, and December at $7 and a penny and three quarters, up 8.25. Of course, those are all last ticks and not settlements. The hard red July, $6.86.5, up 16.5 for the day. July corn futures at $6.10, down 2.5. September at $5.66.5, down 1. December, $5.64.5, a penny higher. The March corn at $5.75.25 at the end of the day, up a quarter. And May futures at $5.82.5, higher. July at $5.87.25, up a half. And December of next year at $5.56.75, that for the 2013 contract, down 3.25 cents. July soybean futures at $14.43.25, up 9.5 cents. August beans, $14.33, 11.75 higher. September at $14.06.5, up 8.5. And November beans at $13.93.25, up 8.75. The January $13.90.5, up 8.25. And the March contract at $13.50.75, up 6.5. Bean meal futures at $4.27.40, down 50. And the bean oil up 34 at $50.78 on the afternoon. June live cattle at $116.60, down a dime. August at $152.75, and the feeders 85 cents lower. And July lean hogs $94.75, down 35 cents. This is the closing market report. Phone line, Jackie Vegas of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Ted.
And well, the close in the corn pit was narrowly mixed, which doesn't happen very often, and I don't think was indicative of what the trade really looked like, because that was pretty narrow for the end of the day.
It certainly was. It was. I think the trade has an awful lot to try and digest. Today was a busy day. We saw all kinds of things going on. You know, we've got option expiration in the July contracts coming up on Friday. You know, in the corn market, the big question on July, of course, is going to be, are they going to hang the $6 puts or the 620 calls where all the volume sits? You know, December corn really did a good job today, I think. You know, and it had a nice close, basically up in that 566 area. We haven't seen that since March of this past year, and it's above the 40-week moving average. So, you know, I would expect that we might be able to try and test that 575, which is the 50-week moving average. I think you know, there's some pollination going on in the south, and the key really for corn, as far as I'm concerned, is pollination. You know, when you look at a lot of people are pretty bulled up because of the topsoil shortages that we have. I think that's more indicative of what's going on with beans than it is with corn right now. But one thing I would like to see people keep in perspective is, you know, if we have to go below 157, which, you know, could possibly happen, on that 95.86 million acres, and that'll give us a 1 billion bushel carryout if nothing else changes. And so, you know, that's still quite a drop from where we are, and it might be early. I think if we get into pollination and we have extremely hot weather, then that's certainly real. But are we going to see the same thing? You and I talked a little bit last week about what happened in May corn, big rally going into the 8th of May, 86.5 cents, and then from the 8th of May to expiration, we dropped 77.75 cents. I think we might see a similar situation here just because commercials really, really want corn.
Well, if they really want corn, why would it drop so much?
Well, I think it's once they're into that delivery period, they don't have to push for it, and everybody's moved on to the following month as far as what
so
they're pricing off of.
They just take delivery of what they've got on at the board,
right?
Then.
Right, absolutely. That I believe is a big part of the drive for the market right now. You know, when you saw beans today, it looked beautiful, and they had a nice close. But I think most of the November is coming out of the dryness and the idea that we might not actually plant as many double crop beans as what they thought we were going to. And I thought it was interesting to see the wheat situation. You know, everybody's going, we have so much wheat, why is it doing this? But the World Bank came out today and actually said that supplies are adequate only for now. They don't see them necessarily being adequate for next year. So a lot of positive underpinning in the market, as well as the great investor enthusiasm that we've seen because the Fed was coming off today.
Right, and then the Fed didn't have a lot to say other than we're not doing as well as we thought we should be, and we're going to kind of hold the line. Or did they say more than that?
Well, I think they said more than that, to be honest with you. You may have to read a little bit between the lines sometimes, but listening to Mr. Bernanke speak, you know, they extended Operation Twist out until the end of the year, gives them more time to buy long-term securities and sell the short-term bonds that they currently have. But, you know, I get the impression, you know, I thought Operation Twist was kind of cute because I think the Federal Reserve feels like, you know, the old cattle rustler in the Old West where they used to hang him from the tree and let him twist in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think that's the way the Reserve feels when it comes to Congress, you know, because Mr. Bernanke was very, very clear in the fact that the Federal Reserve cannot cure the problems that are here. They're only a part of the tools. And he even went so far today as to say, I have three commandments for Congress. He said, do no harm that damages the recovery, find a better fiscal path, and use fiscal policy more effectively, like perhaps a better tax code. And he also talked about the fact that, you know, Europe, the housing situation, and all the fiscal risks are what are keeping the financial markets so nervous. You know, they don't like uncertainty. And yet that's not going to change until the state and the local government stop cutting.
I just saw a headline as I was making my way into the studio on Operation Twist. Apparently that came originally from an operation similar in function as what the Fed's doing today during the Kennedy era in the early 1960s.
That's right.
So we'll read more up about that, maybe talk about that a bit later on the program in the coming days. You know, I've got to know whether you think that up at these levels, whether you're and usually folks are scale in sellers, I'm sorry, on rallies. This is a pretty, I don't want to call it a lofty level, but this is up well off of recent lows. Are you a scale in seller for corn or not?
I am definitely a scale in seller, but I continue to use option strategies because we just don't know what's going to happen down the road. But absolutely, there's no question. I think it's interesting. Drew Lerner, who you're going to talk to after a while, put out a really good piece today, and he had a map in there that showed the majority of the corn is grown in the United States. It actually shows 91%. Anybody who produces less than a half or less than 1% wasn't on the map. But if you took that and you actually laid it over a subsoil map, we're not nearly as bad a shape as we might think we are. And so, you know, we saw quite a bit of moist to adequate areas, and the only places that were what I would call marginal would be a part of Indiana and a part of South Dakota. And so, you know, we have to be careful. You can't hang all your hopes on the idea that this crop is going to fail down the road. You know, you have to be a risk manager, and that means that you do take advantage of scale-up selling.
And when you do it at this point, is there something different about this year? And you just talked about that, but in terms of percentage, so if you would normally have 25 or 30 or 40% of your crop, and you pick the number, sold by the time we get to harvest time, are you cutting that number back so you're wanting to do half of what you normally would, or do you have some kind of advice on that front?
I haven't cut it back at all, Todd, and to be honest with you, I have many clients who are 100% covered between cash sales and option strategies. Now, we did not do as many cash sales this year because of the circumstance that we had, but we brought our sales all the way up. Normally, when you get to the beginning of July, even if we're already in some type of a drought circumstance, you get into the beginning of July and it can be pretty doggone rocky. And so we just told people, hey, we're going to do these option strategies to give you opportunity if the market goes higher and protection if it goes lower. Because like I just read to you from the Fed, we have way too many questions out there in the economies to just feel comfortable. And I thought it was kind of sad, you know, the last few days we've seen the dollar trade lower. Well, today the dollar is trading higher again. And that never helps us in the commodity market.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Jackie Vakes, this was Stuart Peterson, joins us from her Champaign County office here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon.